just wanted to read something, and I want to encourage all of you women. This is just a little brief sermonette for today. And so this is for all of you women, no matter if you're 3 years old or if you're 300 years old. I mean that in the most honorable way, by the way. 300 divided by 90, maybe whatever that number is. 2 Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor, Timothy, his friend and cohort in ministry, who is pastoring in a city called Ephesus. And he writes in chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, he says, "I thank God, who I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, Timothy, constantly in my prayers day and night." Wow, to have someone like that in your life, right? And so it goes on to say in verse 4, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first with your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. For the reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And so Paul's writing and he's saying, "Look, I know you're kind of going through the ringer a little bit, Timothy, and you're tore up, but I remember this faith that's been handed down to you. Your grandma had this awesome faith, and your mom had this awesome faith, and now I know that faith is alive in you." And so if you're a female here, you have such awesome opportunity and power within your families to let your faith shine and live it before others, because it can affect if you have children, if you have brothers, if you have sisters and moms and dads, nieces and nephews, cousins, everyone. It can impact them and it can shape their future. So I just want to encourage you with that. And then lastly, Katie would like to come up and share something that the Lord put on her heart to share. You can come up with her if you want to, Dan. I don't know what you guys planned with that, but I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, because you love being in front of people, right? But go ahead. And then after Katie's done, I'm gonna pray for y'all.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I am really, really nervous today, so please bear with me on this one. But this is hard to say, but I went through a miscarriage a few months ago. It was terrible in a way. I don't know how to even describe terrible, but something really cool happened. I became a mom. And I really didn't want to come today. You know, this whole Mother's Day thing, I'm like, okay, that's the last thing I need. But God really showed me something this morning. I was thinking about it, and what makes me a mom is not having a baby right here. It's that God gave me a kid. And I think it's like when you become a Christian, you make a choice to follow after God. But it's because Christ died on Calvary for you that you can do that. God's the one who picks us up. He makes us new people. We're totally new creations. That's because of him. So the same thing. God gave you a kid, and you're going to be that kid's mom forever, whether they're here or not. So I just want to say today, we celebrate all moms.
Yeah, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Katie. So if you're sitting next to a mom and you want to be biblical, a little Pentecostal, if you just want to put a hand on her shoulder, forehead, wherever, let's just kind of, I want to lay hands on moms. And if you're not a mom yet, just if you have a friend, a girlfriend next to you, just kind of throw an arm around them or hold hands or however you want to touch. Just touch someone appropriately. And I want to pray just a blessing over everyone. Father, we are so thankful that you have created all things and all people. You first created Adam, then you created Eve. And God, I want to pray a blessing over the women in this church this morning, God. That first of all, that you bless them, that your hand be on them, that you give them your favor, that you give them your peace, that you give them your security, that their wholeness and their oneness can be first found in you. And Lord, whatever your plan is, whatever your goal is, and whatever you have written for their lives, Father, we pray that they follow that. We pray that come to fruition in their lives. If they are moms in here this morning, Father, well, we pray that You just continue to anoint them and bless them with the strength, the wisdom, the courage, the energy, the ability to be a godly woman and a godly mom, to be able to raise their children, to be able to help their husband. And for those who are not yet moms, God, we pray that you give them peace, that you give them assurance that if it is your will and your plan for life, that it'll happen. And so I want to pray that as their pastor, as the pastor of this church, I pray that over them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Well, thank you guys so much. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We are in day 2 of our 4-part series in the series of the fruit of the Spirit, obviously just simply called the fruit of the Spirit. And we wanted to get a little bit creative with our decorations. Obviously, you've seen them. So we're going to have some words up. For those of you that are visual learners, my hope and goal is maybe these will help you a little bit. We have love, joy, and peace this morning as our first really diving in to the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to read through not all of this passage, but a good chunk of it. So I just want to kick off. Let's read starting in verse, I was going to say 18, but not there. We'll start in verse 16 and just read through verse 23. So it's almost all of it. But anyway, but I say, walk by the Spirit here in verse 16, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but, so these are diametrically opposed to the works of the flesh, the things that we do, the things we produce apart from God is the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so today we are looking at the first set, the first triplet of these fruit of the Spirit that Paul describes for us in Galatians: love, joy, and peace. And these are such wonderful words. These are such wonderful realities and terms. And what we're going to do, we're going to walk through just a couple minutes of peace on what each one of these words means and what it looks like in our lives and what the intention is for that, for our lives and the heart that God has behind it. And before we jump into that, I just wanted to mention a couple of things about the fruit of the Spirit. I briefly mentioned it last week. When we look at this, the word fruit is singular. If you were to look in the original language, that word fruit is singular. It's not plural. Sometimes people will, sometimes we'll say fruits of the Spirit, but it is fruit of the Spirit. And really, that doesn't have a whole lot of bearing unless you're a grammatician. I don't even know if that's a word. But if you're a grammar detective like me, that's all right. It's a concrete floor. But what is significant about knowing that Paul uses this singular version of fruit of the Spirit is because he's wanting to show that there is unity and oneness in the life of the Spirit. And there's one source, there's one place from which this fruit comes. If you're to look at the works of the Spirit, that's plural. These are all these things that we do, that we try to do on our own, apart from God. Sometimes we do try to do things for God. A lot of times when we don't know the Lord, we're obviously not doing things for Him. So the produce, the product of our life, is some of the things that Paul mentions here in this list. But the fruit of the Spirit, first, is singular because of unity from which whom it comes, and that's the Spirit. So this, when the Holy Spirit, when you have a life, and we looked at John chapter 15 last week, when Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. if you abide in me, I abide in you. If you live in me, I live in you. And so all things, all your sustenance for life is going to be from me. It's going to come from me and through me. And so what Jesus was getting at there, what Paul's getting at here in Galatians chapter 5, is that when we are living a life with and in the Holy Spirit, when we're having a relationship with Jesus, what's going to happen in our relationship with Jesus is we're going to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not all the time. If we actually can forget about the Spirit, kind of dismiss things of the Holy Spirit. But what Paul is getting at is if we are living a life with Jesus, we ought to be living a life aware of and cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. Part of the Trinity, part of the triune Godhead, the three persons in one, the majesty and the not understandable nature of the Trinity, however you want to think of that. But the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus calls him he oftentimes when he's speaking of him. It's recorded in the Gospels. He says he about the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is showing to us that there is this cultivation of relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what happens, how you know that you have a relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit is active and working in your life, is there's going to be this fruit. Jesus once said about Pharisees, he's talking to his disciples and other people and talking about teachers of the law, of the Mosaic law. He says, all right, look, guys, first of all, do what they say, but don't do what they're doing. Because what they're doing is evil and sinful, but what they say is true. They don't even listen to their own words. But and then later on, he also says about them, you will know a tree by its fruit. So look at their life, look at the results, the produce, what's going on in their lives, what's happening with the people around them. You're going to know who they really are and what's really going on in their life. They don't even have to speak, just watch their life. And so there's a similar thing going on here in Galatians 5 when he talks about this character that the Holy Spirit will build in us. And the Holy Spirit, this fruit, also think of this fruit as it's God's way of using his Spirit to develop his character in you. So fruit is character building, character of God building in your life and then obviously through your life and impacting other people from that. Another observation about fruit, sometimes some fruit takes time to grow. One thing that we shouldn't do when we look at this list and say, man, I don't love people. Man, I don't have joy. Man, I don't have any peace. I want that all right now, so I'm just gonna try to produce it. I'm gonna try to do it. And that's the wrong approach, and that's not the intent that Paul had when he wrote this. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. We can't coax the Spirit into kind of just doing things. Often you'll spot on for us. Some of these things are going to take time and cultivation. The more time you spend with the Lord and in his presence and prayer and his word, these things are going to become a reality because he's going to instill them in your heart. And once they're in your heart, you're going to not only feel them, but they're going to be real to you. They're going to become things that are important in your life. And then you're going to end up doing them. You're going to end up walking them out and living them. So if you don't look at this list and say, I don't even know if I have any of these things. And man, I don't know if I can do any of this stuff. Don't think of it like that. What we have to think of is relationship first. When you're spending time with the Lord, these are going to be evidences for you when you look at your own life. Where's the Spirit working? How is the Holy Spirit impacting my life and affecting my life? And you'll be able to see kind of based on these. So Paul, I absolutely love how he does this. He starts off this list of nine words with probably the most important word, the most important thought that describes the heart of God, that describes the heart of Jesus, that describes the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for the first fruit that is evident in a Spirit-lived life is love. We love a lot of things, don't we? This word, this English word for love can be kind of gray and kind of skewed and a little watered down for us because I love the Packers, I love my wife, I love my fishing equipment, I love my church, I love the Lord. You know, we have these different compartments and levels of love in our language, don't we? And so the same is true in the language that the New Testament was written in. They had kind of four primary words. I won't get into much of that now, but the one word, the one Greek word that was used in here, I'm going to mispronounce this a little bit, but is agape. And what this kind of love is and what this word means is it's unconditional, sacrificial, selfless kind of love. And what's, I mean, and what's amazing to me about that, so first of all, that's a fruit of the Spirit. This word agape is obviously found in a few other areas in the New Testament, but this word, he's not talking about romantic love, like, oh, I love my wife. This isn't a brotherly kind of love where, like, I have a brother or I have some friends and, you know, we love each other. This is my friend, my brother. I've known him since I was five and we love each other. And this isn't, you know, it isn't any of those kinds of love. This is a love that says, I am going to love you no matter what. This is the kind of love that says, that when it looks at a condition, no matter what the condition is or what kind of condition of life that person is, it says, I love you. Now imagine that for a lot of us, our love is fairly conditional. Like, I love the Packers when their record is above 500. I don't necessarily love them, you know, when Rodgers is hurt and whatever else. I still like them a little bit and I'll still kind of hang around. But our love is in the flesh and left to ourselves, our love can be conditional. But God is saying, Paul is saying here, God speaking through Paul is saying, one of the first fruit of the Spirit that is evident in our life is unconditional, sacrificial, unselfish love. And so I look at that and I think, you know, because I was just mentioning earlier, like, man, I don't know if I love that way. Something that's really encouraging about this, you can flip with me if you want to John's Gospel chapter 15. You can keep a thumb or some sort of marking in there if you want, because we're going to be looking at a passage in chapter 16 quickly too. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he uses this word agape, this unconditional, sacrificial, selfless love. And he's speaking here in verse 12 of John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I'm going to keep reading for a few verses, but I want to repeat that one. Jesus is sitting with you. You've been following him and walking around with him, seeing his ministry, seeing the miracles, hearing all of his teaching and all this awesome, amazing, glorious stuff. And now he's sitting or standing with you. He's in this place, in this time, and he says to you, this is my commandment. He didn't notice how he didn't say, this is my suggestion for you. This is a really good thing. You need to write this down. This is a good suggestion. No, he's saying, the King of the universe, this is a command I give you. And he could have said anything. At that point in time, here is a new command I give you. And it could have been anything. I mean, think about it. And what does he say? He says, love one another. And it's not just like a brotherly love. He says, love each other unconditionally. Love each other sacrificially. Love each other selflessly. Don't think about yourself when you're loving someone else. Think about their needs before your needs. He's saying, love each other like that because I love you like that. And so he's saying that. Let me read the rest of this. Greater love in verse 13 has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Verse 17, these things I command to you so that you will love one another. So here we have this command, and here we have this fruit of the Spirit at play. So what's going on, Travis? You just said we shouldn't try to do the fruit, but here's Jesus saying, love. I'm commanding you to love. Well, what's going to happen is the more time we spend with Jesus, the more time we're spending knowing God through his word, through his presence, through prayer and fellowship with each other, the Holy Spirit is going to cultivate this unconditional love in us. And it's from that that we need to make a choice to love people unconditionally. We need to be reminded by each other, and we need to be reminded by the Lord that we need to love each other without conditions. And so here in Galatians 5, the first fruit, Paul lays down the foundation. If you don't have love, there's not much else. There's not much else help. There isn't much else the Spirit can do through us if we don't have love. Paul writes about this in the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13, which, by the way, is mostly in the context of spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 is spirit. Here's some spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 is use all of these and do all of these in love. Chapter 14, again, is back to prophecy and speaking in tongues and the gifts. So love is the foundation of everything that I need and everything that you need to really live a Spirit-filled life. And so what I want to implore you with is, as you're spending time with the Lord, ask Him to show you and to teach you how He loves you, because He loves you unconditionally. He loves you without condition, right? Before you knew Christ, while we were still sinners, Paul says, Jesus did what? He died for us. And he just says here in John 15, no greater love does a man have than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. So Jesus sets the example, and he says, look, we need to love each other unconditionally. That is the glue that holds us together. The second word Paul gives us here in this first triplet is joy. And what an awesome word, what an awesome experience that I'm afraid a lot of us don't experience. And there's been a lot of times in my life where I haven't experienced joy, and I couldn't understand why I wasn't happy, why I didn't feel good, why I thought this life in Jesus was, I should have some joy and some comfort and some security. And I didn't think things would feel bad when they got bad. But this word joy that the Apostle Paul uses here in Galatians, it means gladness. It's a gladness of heart. It's this internal source of gladness, which is not dependent on things happening around us. Because happiness actually is a word that is constructed from two different words, happenstance. And so we would use this word, the etymology of the word happy or happiness is from happenstance, which has some derivatives from Ireland. And so Ireland, they're big on luck, right? Oh, you're so lucky, you break a mirror, 7 years bad luck, and all this stuff. And so life isn't good. You can't be happy unless life is good. Unless your circumstances are good, then you can be happy. But the Bible doesn't talk about happiness in that light, at least happiness, joy that comes from the Lord. It's all internal. It's all from the Spirit. It's this, I can have gladness about my life. I can have gladness about the Lord no matter what I'm going through. Paul talks about in another epistle, and sometimes this is taken out of context. Many of us know this who are familiar with the Bible, but Paul talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Sometimes football teams will use that, or sports teams will use that analogy. We can win this game because we have Christ. That's way out of context. What Paul's talking about, he says, look, I've been dirt poor. I've been filthy rich. I have learned how to live with little. I have learned how to live with much. But because Paul's talking about his joy, his gladness, his security in the Lord, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word strengthen has a little bit of a connection with joy. Where does the strength come from? The joy of the Lord. The psalmist writes, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, right? And so joy is this thing that is not, it's not determined on what's going on around us. Joy is this thing that when we look to the Lord and when we're with Him, when we're connected with Him, when He's speaking to us, when He's involved in our lives and we're involved in His, we have this gladness about us that we're so glad that we're His, and we're so glad that He's ours, that even if we're in the middle of a storm and a little tiny boat and waves are crashing over, that we can have a peace and a calmness and a gladness, because it doesn't matter if that boat sinks, because I belong to the Lord and the Lord belongs to me. and I am glad. And sometimes I'm afraid in our culture, in our country, that we get down when times are tough and we drag our feet and we lower our heads and you know, we get the Eeyore syndrome and we're just, you know, and God doesn't want that for us. I'm an Eeyore, I know. And so God has this joy for us. He wants us to be glad. Jesus had joy that I don't know that if I could ever attain that much joy or understand joy to this degree that Jesus did. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, such an amazing passage in, of Scripture this whole area. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. I mean, picture Jesus knowing where he's going, being up on the cross, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, how did Jesus get on the cross? Why did he stay up there? What was his motivation? He had joy that was set before him. Jesus was glad to be there because he knew what was he was accomplishing. He was establishing and reestablishing a relationship between you and the Father, and he was glad to be there. He was glad to do it. It was love that propelled him to the cross. It was love that kept him up there because he could have gotten himself down. He could have answered the cries of people and the mockings of people saying, come down if you are the Son of God and show us and we'll believe. And he stayed up there because of love and gladness, because if he didn't, we wouldn't have a relationship with God. So the second fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about is joy. When the Spirit is active in your life, you're going to have this joy, and you'll be in the midst of this circumstance. Craziness and chaos can be going around you, and you can be calm, and you can be collected, and you can have this gladness about you that will probably make people angry and upset and maybe a little confused. And they're going to be, man, how are you not freaking out right now? And you can be the really weird Christian that says, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And they're going to say, the joy of who is your what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have joy. I have gladness in my heart. These circumstances don't mean anything. And because I have a relationship with the Lord, I know where I'm going. Even if I died because of what's going on now, it doesn't even matter because I love the Lord and He loves me. Amen. The third fruit of the Spirit to end this triplet is peace. And what a fruit to have, especially in our world today, right? With all the chaos and turmoil and threats of war and actual wars happening and invasions and crime and everything else that's going on. He says, peace. And what is he talking about here? Peace is freedom. It's freedom from anxiety. It's freedom from inner turmoil. It's similar to joy, but joy is more of this celebration. Joy is more of this, I'm excited and I'm going to celebrate what the Lord has done. He has nailed my sin to the cross, and I now have a relationship with the Father because of the Son, and the Spirit is allowing me to celebrate that, and no one can rob that from me. No one can take that and steal that from me. No way, no how. And now Paul says, another fruit of the Spirit is peace. The Spirit of God can give you freedom from your anxiety. The Spirit of God can give you freedom from this inner turmoil and chaos. College students, these past couple weeks, there might have been some inner turmoil, inner chaos, finals week, projects, papers, everything going on. And there was probably some inner turmoil. And the Scripture says that while we experience that, it's temporary. And the fruit of the Spirit is going to be peace in the midst of that storm. You're going to be calm and you're going to have peace about it. You're going to have the peace of the Lord. And most importantly, we have peace with God through Jesus. And we're going to read one last scripture here that kind of caps all that off. And I also want to mention too, this word peace here in the New Testament is very similar to an Old Testament word, shalom. Maybe some of you have heard that word before, but that word, shalom, is similar to what the word is used here in Greek. What it really is getting at is that the Lord has this kind of peace that He wants to make you whole. He wants your well-being to be filled, to be fulfilled. It's this wellness of, it's physical health, it's mental health, it's spiritual health, obviously, too. So it's just health. God wants to breathe health and life into you, and he wants that to sustain in your life because that'll give you peace. It's this, I have peace with God, and I have peace with others. And that's the work of the Spirit in your life. So if the Spirit is active in your life, you're going to have peace. You're going to have peace in your heart, in your inner being. You're going to have peace with other people. When they freak you out, when they upset you, when they attack you, when they accuse you, when they spit on you, some of you have been spit on. When, you know, when things are happening like that, you're going to have this inner peace, and you're not going to want to retaliate. Jesus was spit on, he was mocked, he was cursed. And even Isaiah said way back in Isaiah, and then it came true while Jesus was up on the cross. He was being mocked and spit on and accused and all these things, and he spoke not a word. Spoke not a word because he had peace. If we could have the worship team come back up. Romans chapter 5. I went too far. Romans chapter 5. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. And he, just an amazing passage here. I want to read this for you and to you. Starting in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you are at hostility and separation and anger between you and God. There's broken relationship and there's hostility, but through Christ, we are justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. There's no way. How can you rejoice in suffering without love, without joy, and without peace? And anyone who seeks to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one of us might dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what can you take away this morning with love, joy, and peace? First thing is, surrender and fully submit your hearts to the Lord this morning. If you're a Christian, you've been walking with the Lord for quite some time, submission is a daily thing. Our submission never quits, submission never stops. The moment and the time and the season you end your submission to the Lord begins a very slippery, slidey slope to falling away from him. So submission is a daily thing. So I want to implore you this morning, submit yourselves to the Lord. Submit yourselves to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord. We sang a song, make us more aware of your presence. Make us more aware of who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what you want to do in my life. Ask the Lord to help you surrender in areas that you need to give up in order for his character to be developed in you. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord. Maybe you know him. You have not given your life to Jesus. You haven't said, God, I surrender. I give up my way of living and all the things that I'm trying to do and that I'm striving for without you and apart from you. And God, I can't do it anymore. I can't live this way anymore. I need something, and I need something good. And maybe you're sensing that God is that goodness for you. Maybe you're sensing that Jesus is the way for you because He is. And I want you to consider and to consider not leaving this place this morning until you surrender yourself. Tell the Lord, even speak out loud, say, Jesus, I give my life to you. I surrender my life. I ask you for yours. Give me eternal life. Come and create in me a new heart. Change my life. Give me a new perspective on life. Just change me and I surrender my life to you. Use me as you want to use me. Love me as you love me. Create me as you see me, being created. And just give them your heart this morning. And so I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Let's go to prayer right now. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have not left us as orphans. Your Son came, repaired relationship between you and us. Because of His sacrifice, because of His love, His selflessness up on the cross, and His death and through His resurrection, God, we have life. And so we're reminded of that this morning. And then you sent your Spirit. You did not just leave us to fend on our own, but you sent us your Spirit for strength, for power, for boldness, and to equip us to be successful in this life that you have now created for us, this new life that we have in you. God, I pray you empower your people. Fill your people with your Spirit this morning. Allow their hearts to be open to see your Spirit and hear your Spirit and experience your Spirit in a brand new way, in a fresh way. Just pour your Spirit out on them this morning, Lord, and continue to cultivate this fruit. Continue to cultivate this word in their lives for their sake and for the sake of their families and their friends and for the sake of the world. For the person that's in here this morning that they haven't surrendered their life to you, they haven't given up everything and given it to you, Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and the strength and let them know that you've been waiting. You've been waiting for this day for them to come running into your arms, for them to feel your embrace and know your love and know your joy and to know your peace that they have with you. And so I just want to ask for everyone to keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. And I want to be able to know who you are as I pray. I want to continue to pray, but I just really feel like God wants some of us to respond, but just by lifting a hand. Sometimes that helps with the submission part of things. And so if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you want more of the Lord. You know that there's something more to this thing. There's something more to this life than what you've been experiencing. You feel this prompting, this kind of like this pulling or this leading in your heart, and you're not quite sure what it is. You want God to speak to you. You want God to continue to cultivate His character in you. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's unconditional love. Maybe it's joy. Maybe you want God to reveal how to be joyful in your life. Maybe it's peace. Maybe you need peace with a person. Maybe you need some peace with God and you just don't have that. I just want to ask if you want to just quickly lift up your hand and put it back down. I thank you very much. Thank you guys. You can lift it and put it down. I just want to be able to pray for you. Father, for all those who lifted their hands here this morning, I pray, God, that whatever's in their heart, whatever's in their mind this morning, joy, love, peace, maybe it's something else. Lord, they just know they want to hear from you. They need a freshness from you. They want to draw closer to you. They want you to draw closer to them, God. You saw where their hearts are. Father, I pray you go right now and be with them. Give them what they need, Lord. Give them what you have for them for today. For the one who needs love, help them to understand your unconditional, sacrificial, selfless love that you have for them, and help them to love others the same way. And I also want to ask, with eyes remaining closed, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Travis, I'd been a Christian for a while. I haven't been following the Lord. I really feel like I need to get back in touch with God and back in touch with church. I want to rededicate my life. Or I'm here this morning and I've never known God. I've known of Him, but I've never really given my life to Him. I've never experienced God before. And you want to this morning. I just want to ask, just like the first group, just slip your hand up. You can do it nonchalantly, secretly, discreetly, because I want to pray for you, because, man, God has some awesome plans in store for your life, and you can't step into that if you're not with Him, if you're not in Him. Thank you guys very much. I saw your hands. Thank you for your courage, your boldness. Father, I pray this morning for those that lifted their hands. They want to dedicate or rededicate their lives to you, God. I pray that right now, God, you know what their life has been like without you, and you know what their life is going to be like with you. I pray right now in your spirit that you fill them, that you go, you be with them, give them the assurance and the affirmation that they belong to you, that their life is new, that their heart is recreated. It once was hard, and now it's soft, to be able to hear your voice and experience all that you are. And for those, maybe they had their hand lifted and this is the first time they want to give their life to you for the first time, God, we celebrate and rejoice with them. The Bible says that all of heaven, the angels rejoice when one sinner repents and gives their life to you. There's a party in heaven for those that are giving their lives to you right now. Father, we pray for them, that you strengthen them, give them wisdom, give them a friend who can help them along. Help us as a church to disciple them and grow them in their faith. And we dedicate this whole morning to you, this whole day to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and stand with me. Couple of options that I want to give to you this morning. First option, if you want to spend time in worship and in the presence of the Lord, I invite you to either stay in your seats or come up to the front or the sides. The worship team is going to lead us in one last song, maybe more depending on how it goes. So I invite you to stay with that. If you rededicated your life, or if you gave your life to the Lord for the first time this morning, I want to ask you to tell someone. You can come and tell me. You can tell the person you came with. Tell someone else, maybe if you know anyone in church. Say, hey, I gave my life to the Lord. Can you pray with me? And I just want to help you and get you kickstarted and get you plugged in. If you can't stay and you have to get going, I want to pray a blessing over you. If you want to stay but not in here, I just ask you go out into the cafe, get a refill of drinks or whatever you want to do just to visit. But I pray that the Lord bless you. I pray that the Lord protect you. I pray that the Lord make His face shine upon you or smile on you. I pray that the Lord give you His favor and that He give you His peace. So go today, stay today in the name of the Lord, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.